start our adult discipleship hour. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. You are sovereign over whole creation. And you gave us this Bible. It is your word. And as we dwell into this topic of baptism, we cannot cover everything and we probably do not understand most things. But help us as we seek to understand, as we seek to learn. You speak through me and speak through brothers and sisters here so that we might learn more of you and follow you faithfully. Be present and help us, Lord. In most precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you everyone for coming. My name is Naveen and I'm not a medical doctor. I'm just a PhD doctor. You heard from Pastor Paul and Pastor Bob that Dr. Naveen, so just letting that out. Today we're talking about baptism and I will be covering, I felt it is probably not as important because we are a Baptist church and most of you know the history of what a Baptist church is. But anyway, we'll just talk about baptism. And today's portion, we'll be covering 5 questions. What, why, how, who, and when. These 5 questions will be answered. And I may not be giving a definition for what is baptism, but I would, before I start, if any of you have any concise definition for baptism, what would you say, what is baptism? Ian. What is baptism? Simple question. Well, it looks like most like Grudem, none of you have a definition for baptism. For me, simply baptism is an outward expression of showing to the world that you became a believer. And we have an example in the Word of God. We have an example in the church history, and we have an example of our parents, our people whom we see around. So, now let's talk about the first, before we talk about biblical baptism, do you know that there is a history of baptism in the Bible before Christ, or just before Christ? In Leviticus, we can see in all the rules that God has given to Moses, that there are portions of verses where there are purification process, where the priest or even some Israelites go under the water and come up for purification. That is never mentioned as baptism, but it's somewhat purification washing process. And in pagan religions, I come from the center of India, and we have Hinduism. Something similar to baptism is always present, even today. Most people go to River Ganges and dip themselves in as a process of purifying themselves, as a process of appeasing gods. And this is a yearly ritual for many people. And I looked up the history, and even Greek mythology or some of other pagan religions also have a similar thing of dipping in the water and coming out as their ritual practices. But before Jesus coming, John has instituted or started doing baptisms. And then when after Jesus came, as Christians, all of us, from the early church, every believer is doing baptism. Now, we know, we have gone through in our discipleship hour about salvation, sanctification, regeneration, justification, glorification. We have gone through all these terms. Now, where does baptism fit? We all know that these words, whatever I said about salvation, justification, and glorification, and sanctification, we all know that there is an element of God, that or the element of spirit that needs to be present in order to have all these processes in a believer's life. And where does baptism fit? And why do we actually need baptism if it doesn't fit anywhere? Why is it important at all for us? Because I don't see baptism in all those words I said earlier, either as part of salvation or justification or regeneration, sanctification or glorification. But still it is important. And we're going to talk about it, why it is important. Because it seems that just as an act of man, rather than being God completely involved in that God's baptism. And it doesn't really contribute to either sanctification or to that matter glorification. And to give you a fun example, it's something similar to baptism is given to dead people back in India so that they'll be pure to be received by God. But in our case, it's not like that. Now, why is it important? Let's talk about it. The first and foremost reason our present is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He himself was baptized. I know that we all know from the Word of God there is no requirement before that, but he himself was baptized by John. And I don't want to pick up any verses because we all know. And as an example of following our Savior, we follow his footsteps. And the Lord himself approved his disciples baptizing others, whoever trusted in him. I read John chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. Now, when Jesus learned that Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples baptized. So we see that the Lord has approved his disciples baptizing. And we all know the Great Commission. And some of you know by heart, I'll read the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, I know most of us talk about when we do any kind of ministry, it is for making disciples of Jesus Christ. But in the Great Commission itself, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ included baptizing them. So it is very important. Along with making disciples and following his commandments. And we see that, and another reason why it is important is we see that our early church, right after Jesus, we see the church has given important, very much important to baptism. A good example is I'm reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 to 41. And this is on the day of Pentecost. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourself from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And the fifth reason I would give is this particular ordinance that I'll talk about ordinance later, the word ordinance, but this particular ordinance, that's baptism, conveys many theological truths, and it's a symbolism for being a Christian. I'm reading, and this is an important verse that probably most of my talk will be depending on, is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. Can I have a volunteer to read those verses? Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. Daniel, you can read it. Amen. Verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We see the symbolism here, how we need to die to sin. And that symbolizes the going into the water, the burial process is symbolizing by dying and rising up and walking is walking in the newness of life. So, and we see it is important from the Word of God, from New Testament practices, from the early church process, we see it is important that just by the fact that Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, has done this step of baptism. And let's not read it, but in Hebrews chapter 6, it is mentioned in the first two verses, is baptism as a foundation for our Christian truths. So I define loosely what is this, and I discuss right now why baptism. And just to give a summary, why? Because we have many reasons to give answer to why. To follow in Christ's example, and our Lord Savior has approved His disciples baptizing to make new disciples. See, we see clearly in Great Commission that we need to do when people become believers. And we also see the early church, which is mentioned in the Word of God, has given importance to baptism when people become, when we become believers. And we also saw that how this particular baptism, the act of baptism, conveys much more theological truth of Christian life than probably any other act in the world, any other act in Christian life. So we know that the baptism is important. And so we all did it. I don't think anyone who is here except the babies and toddlers and children here, all of us were baptized. Good. We know it is important, and we are all done baptism. And by the sovereignty of the Lord, if we get to evangelize and convert and make people to become Christians and disciple them, we will, God willing, we will have more baptisms here. So let's just go home, right? We're done. But unfortunately, the 2,000 years of Christian history was not as simple as that. We have had many problems and divisions in the history, and that's why we are discussing this theological truth. The one simple history is the difference between the word sacrament and ordinance. Is there anyone who can give me a difference between what is sacrament and what is ordinance? Or even one word? What is a sacrament? Anyone? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's okay. So basically, this is the word. Sacrament is the word that is used in Catholic churches, Roman Catholic churches, and most Orthodox churches, even Protestants. And when Catholic churches use the word sacrament, what do they mean? Is in itself, the sacrament actually convey grace to people without having faith. Like, today, my children are not believers, they're little children. But if they go and get baptized, that means they're giving grace. They don't need to have faith to get saved. They're already saved because they're getting baptism. The sacrament itself gives them grace without having internal faith or without having any regeneration. But the Baptistic view, it is baptism is actually appropriately administered only to those who give a believable profession of faith in Christ Jesus. So, if you actually see some Roman Catholic churches and some Orthodox churches, they give baptism to whoever who comes. I'll give you an example. Back in India, you take baptism right before you get married. Before I became a Christian, I thought a requirement for a wedding, a requirement for a marriage is baptism. I never realized baptism actually an ordinance that Jesus Christ himself ordained for all of us. As a Christian, we need to do it. So most, even if you go to some traditional churches, they just do baptism just for the sake of doing baptism. And they don't really look for a believable profession of faith. So it is, when you say sacrament, you just do it so that you get saved, or you get the grace, you get a favor from God, instead of actually just looking at an ordinance, something that we need to do. Now, a bigger problem is, we all understand, as people sitting in a Baptist church and as Protestants, that this is only an ordinance. That the act of baptism does not save us. The act of baptism does not give pure favor from God. It is only an ordinance. Ordinance means it is being ordained. It is being given to us to do as an act. So, how is this baptism done? And what is its meaning? Now, in the New Testament, when we read the Word of God, we see clearly the baptism is done by immersion. What is immersion? Just a few minutes ago, we read Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 10. What did we read? We go into the waters of baptism. It's like burying a person. And you come out, just like how Jesus was resurrected, and we walk in the newness of life then. But over the years, the people, I'm not sure how it happened. If you go to Catholic Church, they do sprinkle. And then some people even do pour. They don't actually put you under the water. They pour water on top of you as an act of baptism. For me, it was very surprising. I never saw baptism any other way other than immersion. After I graduated from India, I went to Taiwan, and there is only one church that actually has English services. That's a Lutheran church. And I know who was Martin Luther was, and what's his role in, you know, rebelling against the Catholic Church and becoming Protestants and all those and all the Christian history. And when the day of baptism came, I was expecting, oh, there's no pool. Where would they do baptism? The pastor came and just sprinkled water. That's the first time I ever witnessed sprinkled for baptism. And my mind, I could not wrap my mind around, this is a Lutheran church. And he is the person who wanted to follow the Word of God strictly. And how does this match? We don't know how it happened. But throughout the years, it so happened that churches do not do what the Word of God has been telling us to do. So, in the New Testament, we clearly see, yes. 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 There are many verses in the Bible. As we read through the verses, we'll get to it slowly, okay? And if I don't answer your question, you can answer me then. Yes. So I'm going to answer you right now even. The word baptism, as mentioned in the Word of God, is Greek word baptizo. So the meaning of baptizo itself means to plunge, dip, immerse in water. And metaphorically also it is used, the Greek word used, to overwhelm. And that's the exact word that is used in the Word of God, baptizo. So, overwhelm doesn't mean just sprinkling or pouring. Overwhelm. You're literally overwhelming person with water. Now, let's see the John's baptism. Wherever John's baptism is done, there are certain Greek words used. Like I only remember the word "en" right now. I didn't add notes, but let's see. I'll read John chapter 3, verse 23. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Anna near Salem, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized. Let's see if it is for sprinkling. Yes. 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 So there are multiple verses which refer to going in the water and coming out of the water. So here in John chapter 3 verse 23, we see they said the water is plentiful there. And there are multiple verses where it shows they are going in the water and coming out of the water, where the baptism is mentioned. And let's think about this. Does anyone need plentiful water for sprinkling? I think I could baptize, if you're just doing with a glass of water, I can probably baptize more than 100 people if I just sprinkling. But we needed more water, plentiful, because there's an immersion that needs to happen. So we also see a symbolism. I will read why baptism is done in immersion. I'll read verses, the same Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. If we just read this verse 3 and 4, I don't think the symbolism of baptism, symbolism of this, would align with any other way of baptism other than immersion, whether it is sprinkling or pouring, as we discussed earlier. And let's read Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. In him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. So we see immersion symbolizes this process of, again, burying and raising up. So we can all agree as that the immersion actually makes sense than any other way of baptism. So it doesn't mean if you just sprinkle or pour, they are not believers. I'm just saying how baptism needs to be done from the Word of God's point of view. And we also see the raising from the water actually symbolizes newness of life. As we read from, yes. So, I should have put verses. I didn't want to take my time longer. But in Leviticus, when God gave laws to Moses, it is very clear where there's some purification process where they need to go and dip themselves in the water and come up. And recently, those of you who saw Chosen series, anyone watch Chosen series? In that, okay, only one person, so may not be relevant. We see an example of that in that series. Do you want me? You can refer to that because somewhere in the Word of God talks about baptism of Moses. It is referred to as that, but it's not as clear as going under the water and coming up as it is mentioned in Leviticus for purification purposes. Mm-hmm. So, some people say baptism is the process of going under the water and coming up of the water, just like our sister Anne-Marie asked, is just for purification purposes. And that is actually also is in the New Testament. Let's see Acts 22 verse 16. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. And in Titus chapter 3 verse 4 to 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, being justified by his grace, we might become highest according to the hope of eternal life. So, in verse 5 we see washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So some people argue that this baptism is not really symbolizing anything, but just the washing as in New Testament. To them we say, yes, but this is not just washing, but it is also symbolizing the new life in Jesus Christ. But it also symbolizing the washing away of our sin. It is also symbolizing that we now die to our sins and our flesh, and we rise up, we rise from the waters of baptism in newness of life. That means following Jesus Christ. But many times we get stuck in the how and the which way the baptism is done, and we miss out on the celebration and the joy of baptism and the celebration of like just giving glory to God. So what I'm saying is, people can be doing baptism anyway, even though we agree from the word of God that is the clear way is immersion, but we should not miss the celebration, we should not miss the joy, we should not stop giving glory to God, because it is a miracle when anyone comes to Christ. Now, okay, probably if any more questions on how it should be baptized? Okay. We'll go to the question who. Who should be baptized? Can anyone give me a simple answer? A regenerated person, good answer. Anyone else? Who should be baptized? Those who put their faith in Christ. Yes, I actually gave a simple answer before. That's good. Is who actually have given a believable profession of faith? Believable profession of faith. There's an evidence in that person's life showing that they're actually Christians. Basically, that's what it is. Let's see. What does the New Testament say about who should be baptized? In Acts, we see the early church baptisms, and we can refer to those and see what they're talking about. The Acts chapter 2, verse 41. This is the verse that we read before in the at the day of Pentecost. It is Peter who's doing these things. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized. What do you see there? Who were baptized? Those who received his word, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. Putting on Christ actually showing the inward regeneration, and for that as an example we are doing an outward sign, which is baptism. And in Romans again verse 3 to 4 we read already 3-4 times, we see how we need to go into the waters of baptism as a burial practice, as being buried. I want to read those verses again. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized in his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. So the question is, we all agree. Do we all agree that anyone who shows a evidence of Christian life should be baptized, right? But just these verses about being buried into death with Jesus, does it qualify for anyone or infant or just the believer?
Just the believer. But still, we see some people doing, some denominations doing infant baptisms, and those who want to get married, they do it. I have a friend who visited us last week, was staying with them. She was forced to get baptized into their denomination just because only if they receive baptism in that denomination, they'll marry off that couple. So this is a practice where we see complete misunderstanding of what it means to be a baptized person. Now we'll see, because Roman Catholics actually baptize infants, what is their view? Does anyone know why Roman Catholic Church baptizes infants? Something similar to it. They basically think the baptism is necessary for salvation. The act of baptism itself makes you saved. That's what Roman Catholic view is. That's why they baptize infants so that, yes. So that's where actually Reformation came, right? It's a faith plus works. For them, it's only works. Yeah, it's a complete diversion. Yes. And the reason they give, and the reason why they baptize infants is, obviously it's clear from the Word of God that unless you have faith, you won't be baptized. And the reasoning of the Roman Catholic Church is that the faith of the church compensates for the lack of faith in the infant. So the priest baptizes because the church is important. Church faith compensates for the infant. Now, the baptism does not save people, but the Roman Catholic Church believes baptism saves people. And we know clearly, and that's the reason the whole Reformation came, and people came out, and the word Protestant itself is protesting the Catholic Church, and the Protestants came. We will look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So until and unless Our saving is only through faith and not through works, we are not actually saved. No matter how many good works we do, no matter how many times we get baptized, it doesn't work. It is by grace and through faith that we get saved. Is baptism necessary for salvation? Okay, now we agree, it's a believable, we agree that it is important why we need to do it and how we need to do it. We agree that, and who need to do it. We all agree that one. But is it necessary? Are we saved even without baptism? Yes? How many of you say yes? Are we still saved if we don't get baptized? Wow. Congratulations, you passed the course. I'll read Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 and chapter 3 verse 10. This is comparing to the circumcision. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. And chapter 3 and verse 10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them. So, in the Word of God, it did not clearly mention that baptism is required for salvation. or it is okay not to have baptism. But if we draw parallel to the circumcision, because Paul was writing to Galatians when they were requiring circumcision as an additional act for getting saved, or as salvation, or being to coming to the church. So we can add the same thing, saying for baptism also. Baptism is basically an outward act for inward regeneration, as an evidence, as showing people that I am a believer right now. So it is not necessary. Yes. Yes. And right now I don't think I have proper answer. But I will. Yes. I did read that verse, I will believe. Did I? Yes. 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 So now, I talked about Roman Catholics, but there are also... Man, you're stealing my thunder. I had that prepared as a question and answer later. Okay. So, we saw the Roman Catholic view, but there are actually Protestant churches which do not believe baptism itself gives them, baptism itself gives the salvation, but they still baptize infants. And their reasoning is that it's an entrance to the covenant community, just like how in Old Testament, they circumcise on the eighth day to mark it's the Jews. But the community at the time was, in Old Testament, it was through blood. It was through by being born to a Jew, or if, even for slaves who are in a household of Jews, they still baptize. If you live among Jews, they still get circumcised. If you live among Jews and if you practice all those are practicing, that you are still considered your children, and you are still considered to be for circumcision. So it is an outward act, and that's how they defined community at that time. Basically, the community of Jews, and many people draw a parallel between baptism and circumcision. So because they're circumcised at 8 days old, now we baptize them as infants. Which is not true, because then it defeats the purpose of why we are baptizing, or because they don't give the believable profession of faith. And many people quote these verses, Acts chapter 16, verse 15. Acts chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "And after she was baptized," she here refers to Lydia, "and her household as well, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to the faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." And I'm also reading verse 33. "And he took them," and this is the jailer, "and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family." Many people quote these verses, or the Pedo-Baptist view is that because in the early church we see not only the people who believed were baptized, but also their household, their household must include children and infants. But it never said in the Word of God that actually for baptizing infants. But elsewhere, if we continue to go there in Acts chapter 16, we also read then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. So here we clearly see that the household is rejoicing that he believed in God, which implies the household itself actually even put their trust in God. So this is Peter Baptist view. Even though the baptism is only for believable profession, just because the church, in the early church, baptized household, which might include infants, were baptizing, which is wrong. And then most people compare circumcision in the old covenant to baptism in the new covenant, saying this is an entrance into the community of believers. But it is entrance into community of believers, but but it's not for infants. So let's see a difference between circumcision in the old covenant and New Testament baptism. Circumcision in the old covenant is physical and external and a means of entrance into covenant community that with Israel. And most people are Jews by birth. It is not an inward working. It's just birth. And there is no faith involved. But in the New Testament, it is the saving faith that needs to be showed externally. And it is the incorporation is not an external act, but it's a spiritual. It is inside. And it is voluntary. And it is very spiritual. So I'm not sure if I'm trying to explain it properly. The Old Testament circumcision is physical, involuntary. It is just an entrance into the... This is how you will say this person is a Jew. But in the New Testament, we see all the verses so far. It is voluntary. It is internal. It is not external. Even though it is an entrance into a community of believers in God's family. And the way we can see is in the Old Testament and in New Testament is different. In the Old Testament, God is residing in a temple. And what is the New Testament parallel? There is no physical temple anymore. Sorry? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so in the New Testament, yes. Yes. Yeah. So we ourselves are the temple of God. It's no more physical, no more temple. And then in the Old Testament, people took bulls, rams, doves, pigeons as physical sacrifices. And people still do it in other religions. And the Hebrews still do it. But what is New Testament sacrifices? Whoever that said. Yes. It's a spiritual sacrifice. It's no more the physical sacrifice. So, died itself. It's basically the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. It was not perfect. But right now what we are living is the perfect stage where Jesus has already was sacrificed for us, and we have real community of believers, and it's the God's family that we're living in. I'm reading Acts chapter 16. Verse 34. I think I already read it. Sorry. Then why do these Peter Baptist denomination baptize infants? If they actually follow the word of God and they knew all these things, most of them. But when you ask them why are you still baptizing them, do you know? Can you take a guess? Why do they baptize infants? You know that they are not saved when they baptized infants, but still they baptize, showing the word of God. Yes. Some kind of covenant, and it's a possible future regeneration. It's always possible. There's a possibility, it's always possible, it's not true. From the word of God, it's clear that it's definitely not infants and it's only believers. So, Peter Baptistic view is also not right. Now, I want to ask, we're coming to the end. Chris, you want to ask some question? Okay. What is the effect of baptism? Effect. Probably is wrong. What is the effect of baptism? Effect. Hey. So we know we are getting baptized mostly as an obedient, as a commandment from Christ Himself. It is an obedience that leads to a blessing, just like any other commandment that Jesus Christ gave us. It's a joy of public profession. It's a testimony that we are giving to people. And it's a reassurance of our walk in Christ through the symbolism of baptism. But I have a special testimony I want to give here. My baptism was not like any other baptism that happens here. My baptism, I was almost killed because the Hindu fanatics back in India came and they were about to burn me with tying down. They beaten me already. But police came and rescued me. They arrested me for a while. And then once everything calmed down, I along with my friends released. So last week, those who are here, you guys met my friend Ashish. He was with me during my baptism. For me, it was, I wouldn't say that it was a joy at that time, but what brought me to a very serious commitment to God is that day what I went through. I understood, see, what I'm doing that day was a serious thing. Like, it's like really, really important. Because I could have done many other things which are controversial, but this one thing that I did, really a public profession of faith, actually took me to the point of death. So Satan is really working through to take away believers or possible believers away from God. So for me, the effect of baptism was a serious commitment to God, because I knew that it was really, really serious. It is the probably most important thing. And most of you can attest to many other things that happened in your lives, what baptism means to you. Now we come to the necessity of baptism, where Tom stole my thunder. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Matthew chapter 28 verse 19, we see that's the Great Commission. Jesus is asking to make disciples and baptize in the name of Father, Son and the Holy Spirit. And we also see in Acts chapter 2:38, and Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of Holy Spirit." So many people use these verses to say the baptism is very, very necessary from the Word of God. Because in both verses we see that Jesus is saying make disciples and baptize them in the name of Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And here Peter is saying repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. But if you actually look through the whole Bible, does not this add a faith plus works mentality if you put baptism in there? It is talking from the sense of being general. It's not as a necessity. These two verses, it's talking, this is how it needs to be done. And there's a commandment for baptism. But it's not talking from a point of view of it is a must. Because the moment you say must, it becomes faith plus works mentality. And we already know that it's through faith and through grace we are saved. By faith, not by works. And just like what Brother Tom pointed out earlier, we can read Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 43. Okay, Tom is not in a situation to read. David, can you read Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 43? Yet. What do we see here? Any observations? No baptism. And? No works. And? Yes. The one important thing that I want people to see is there is an inward change. And that was through faith. And then what happened? The next moment he was with Jesus in the paradise. So it is, the baptism is not necessary. And the works is not necessary. No amount of work that Roman Catholic Church puts on, it's not necessary. And when does justification take place? Moment of salvation. It's at the point of saving faith. It's not at the point of baptism. So most of us do baptism or go through the waters of baptism not for salvation, not for us to get saved, not for us to get sanctified, but to be obedient to Christ. And we all know that there are so many commandments in the Word of God, in the Old Testament and New Testament, we are guilty of not following. We are guilty of not following. But that doesn't mean we are not justified. We are still justified. And we see from the example of the thief on the cross that he himself was Jesus. So baptism was not necessary. That is a good point. I meant to share about it and I forgot. It is basically when you get baptizing, when you are getting baptized, it's a public profession of faith and you are identifying yourself with Christ. And if you look from the Word of God's point of view, we are all bride. We are all bride of the Jesus Christ as a church. And each one of us are getting married to Him in that sense. And now, last question. When do we get baptized? We already answered it's not infant. And it doesn't make sense, obviously, the other answers. But when do we get baptized? Can a 10-year-old be baptized? Good question. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Good answer, brother. I'll come to that. Praise God. Yes. Yes. So, we cannot baptize infants. We probably cannot baptize teenagers, as Cindy pointed out. But, we can baptize people when they give a believable profession of faith. It may be 10-year-old, it may be 6-year-old. I don't know why it is. As Brother Jason pointed out, in the womb maybe. We don't know. But if they give believable profession of faith and a reasonable evidence of belief in Christ for their salvation, then I think that then the Word of God is clear, that's the right time for baptism. Yes. Yes. So last week, my friend and his wife came. She was baptized actually after marriage and after conceived because she didn't get a chance to get baptized before. Because she was in a denomination that doesn't believe in proper baptism. And she was not allowed to go to other churches because her father restricted her to stay there. So she waited for her marriage to happen. Her husband is a believer and they were in a church where they actually biblically think about baptism. Then she got baptized. If you have any questions, you can ask me. Otherwise, we are done. I would compare John's baptism with what Peter is saying. When John is baptizing people, he was just basically asking people to repent. But when we are just like the words you said and we baptize, we are not just repenting. We are taking Jesus Christ's sacrifice our sins. I would read again Romans chapter 6 verses 3, 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into His death? We are buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. My understanding is when it says in the name of Jesus, I think this is what it means. We done? Any more questions? Okay. Brother Daniel, can you pray and close?